Welcome back to another one of the Squawker Talkers' very special pre-January transfer window previews with Greg Stobart. How are you doing, Greg?
Hello, Greg. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to yourself as well. And Ollie Young Miles is here as well.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Not bad. Obviously, we're going to be previewing Spurs today. I didn't say my own name, did I? I'm your host, Greg Johnson. Oh, what about Ian? Beautiful.
You start again if you want.
Nah, I think that intro is fine. So what's that? So what kind of signings are Spurs looking to make in January, Stobes?
Well, I think it's a bit of an indictment of the way they've operated in the last few transfer windows that they're looking for exactly the same players they were looking for in the summer, really. They want a young, creative playmaker, a number 10, to compete with Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli, someone like Ante Koric at Dinamo Zagreb or Kalinoglu at Bayer Leverkusen. Same old names they were linked with in the summer, really. And Pochettino's priority would be to sign another direct, pacey winger who can score goals and provide assists from the wide areas, because they wasted 30 million on Moussa Sissoko. They spent 14 million on George Kevin Nkudu, who's barely had a kick and not been particularly impressive in training by all accounts. I think if he could, he'd buy a pacey winger. He wanted Sadio Mane at the start of the last transfer window. They tried to sign Wilfried Zaha as an alternative, which would have made sense, and they ended up with Moussa Sissoko, and it's not worked out. And Spurs are looking very stunted in attack. It's very one pace, it's very predictable, and if they could get someone like Zaha, it could really add a different element to their attack.
But that is the story heading into this transfer window, that they are going to I think it's a story you broke on Squawker, Stobes, earlier this month, that Spurs are going to go in for Zaha again in the January transfer window and make an offer to Crystal Palace. I mean, what could he add to Spurs' attack, Ollie?
Well, as Stope said, Spurs have become very predictable in attack. They're very slow, and they don't look like, although they're third for chances created in the Premier League, they don't look like breaking teams down. And they're the sixth highest scorers in the division, which sort of, you know, considering their fifth, you know, in the Christmas period.
I think they created some of the most chances in the Champions League as well before they were knocked out. So it kind of sums up their conversion.
Yeah, they just haven't been clinical in front of goal. Zaha, I mean, you wouldn't say he's the most clinical, but he's a player that is sort of come into his own this season. He's been very impressive for Palace. He's the second highest take-ons completed in the Premier League. He scored 3 goals and he's provided 6 assists, which are numbers which are much higher than he's been hitting before for Palace, which suggests to me that he's finally sort of flourishing and becoming that player that you know, he was touted to be, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when he went to Man United.
I think that's kind of the point with someone like Zaha. He's 24. He's always had this potential and he's starting to realise it. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that his numbers are picking up. Now he's playing with a proper striker in Christian Benteke rather than a Connor Wickham or whoever else, or Adebayor last year. You know, Zaha and Harry Kane combining together on the counter-attack, you can actually see that working. And I think that fits into Spurs' mould, even at £25 million. That fits into Spurs' transfer strategy, which is why Sissoko was just such a bonkers one. 27 years old, 30 million, attitude problem, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Actually, Zaha, you know, in the current market, you'll probably get your money back in a couple of years if it doesn't work out.
But you've mentioned their £25 million. Now, in the summer, Spurs were in for Zaha as well, and they kind of got batted away by Crystal Palace for offering what they consider to be like a derisory offer. Given that Zaha's kicked on again this season, is £25 million going to be enough?
I don't know. I don't think Spurs would want to pay more than £25 million. As we know, Spurs are pretty frugal in the transfer market. They've got a £450 million stadium to build. It's the same old concerns about January, the inflated market. You have to pay more, especially if Palace are stuck in a relegation battle as well. They're going to be loath to lose their best player. So it might be difficult, and it might be up to Zaha to try and push it. I mean, he asked for the move in the summer, and Steve Parrish, the Palace chairman, said, no way, you've got to stay. If he tries again, will Palace listen to him? Maybe they will. And I think Zaha would really like to go to Tottenham as well. He spoke to Pochettino on the phone.
But he might also quite like to be going to the African Cup of Nations as well, because that is still up in the air whether he'll go with Ivory Coast
I think he's going to go, but you know, if you sign someone on a 5-year contract, not for the first month of the transfer window. So I don't think that will prove any obstacle to whether he completes a move to Tottenham.
Mm. Any other spots in the team that you think need reinforcing, Ollie?
Well, Stobes sort of touched upon it. You know, that final sort of third Spurs have been lacking this season. Dele Alli hasn't quite managed to, you know, kick on from last season, I'd say. And Eriksen was still waiting for the real Christian Eriksen to step forward. You know, he's very good against the small teams, but in the big games, he often goes missing. So Spurs just need greater depth in that area. But another thing that that Stobes touched upon, you know, in the summer, Spurs sort of filled the problem positions with players that haven't yet been good enough. So again, it's another striker who is better than Janssen. You know, it's another winger who can provide something different. Going back to Zaha, is he an upgrade on Sissoko? You'd have to say yes. He can beat a man with skill. You know, he's not a kick and run, you know, sort of player like Sissoko is. Other than that, defensively, I think Spurs are fine. The back five is the most settled probably in the Premier League. Central midfield hasn't been as solid as Spurs fans probably would have liked. But again, I don't think that's a massive problem issue. So I think it's mainly just in the final third of the pitch, really.
And with that money spent on Sissoko, though, what kind of budget are Spurs going to be able to play with in January?
Well, they've got a bit of money, but let's not forget they've signed 10 or 11 players on new contracts since the start of the season, which was the priority. That's, you know, that's boosted the wage bill massively, so that's been a consideration, plus the stadium. I think with Tottenham, they're never going to be spending, for the next few, 5, 6, 7 years, they're not going to be spending anything like the same money as their rivals. You're looking at sort of 30 to 40 million net spend, absolute maximum per year. But you can do something with that. You look at you look at the Spurs squad now and their best signing, Eric Dier, 5 million, Dele Alli, 5 million, Jan Vertonghen, Toby Alderweireld, about 10 million, give or take each. That's the kind of way that Spurs operate, which is why someone like Ante Koric, for example, at Dinamo Zagreb, massively hyped player, being linked with Barcelona, Juventus, Liverpool, absolutely everyone. You know, Spurs signed Luka Modric for 16 million. Everyone said it was a gamble and it turned out to be brilliant. But you bring him in, you ease him into the team behind Eriksen, you give him the cup games, give him a full pre-season next year, then that's the kind of signing that Spurs need to make, really. They're not going to be able to compete for 30, 40 million pound players, and they know that.
We've talked about the wage budget there and how it's increased over the last few months. Are there any players that you can see leaving in January?
Tom Carroll will finally go, I think. He signed a new contract in the summer purely so they could sell him on. Swansea being pretty heavily linked with him. He's actually really good friends with Harry Kane, which is genuinely one of the reasons that he's been hanging around. They play golf together, so I think he'll finally go. The other one that's a possibility, but he'd need a replacement. I don't think Pochettino's a big fan of Kevin Wimmer at all at the moment. I think he thinks he's not mobile enough and a little bit overweight by all accounts, from what I've been told. So I think if they could get someone else in to play in that position, they would listen to offers for Kevin Wimmer, but you don't want to upset your squad too much midway through the season.
Definitely not. Speaking of the kind of fan perspective, obviously you look at Spurs a lot, Ollie, and you're a bit of an expert on what goes on over at White Hart Lane. Should fans be worried or excited about this transfer window, and how has Poch's record with transfers been since he came to the club?
Well, since Poch came in 2014, Spurs have had a very mixed record in the transfer window. They've bought 16 players for the first team. So since Pochettino came in 2014, Spurs have bought 16 players for the first team for around 170 million. I think looking down that list, you'd probably say, you know, four or five have been successes. Alderweireld's been the standout buy. Dele Alli's been very successful. Dier has sort of dropped off a little bit this season, but he's got a big future. And then Son and Wanyama, I think you'd probably just say that they've been successes, but there's still room for improvement for them. Ben Davis has been okay. But the rest, you know, there's been a lot of money wasted. I think Spurs fans want to see that success rate. If Spurs are going to continue to progress as a club, that needs to bump up to, you know, 10, 11 players out of 16 being successful rather than four or five. You look at, you know, Spurs going out of the Champions League to Monaco and Bayer Leverkusen. They're two clubs that have mastered signing young players, not a huge amount of money, and, you know, progressing them as players. And Spurs should be competing ahead of the likes of Leverkusen and Monaco, not just with them. They should be looking at, you know, teams like Dortmund, Atletico Madrid, Napoli, who have bought very, very well over a sustained period of time. So I think the main thing for Spurs is they really need to sort out this, you know, this transfer strategy. I get what they're doing. You know, they don't have a huge amount of money with the stadium, but, you know, other teams are showing that you can find value in this inflated market, and Spurs just need to, you know, get the right players in. Whether January is the time for that, I don't know. But this summer, I think, is integral for Spurs.
So it's a bit weird that Paul Mitchell came in as apparently Pochettino's man. He was recommended to Levy as the guy who was going to work closely with Pochettino to sign the players he wanted, almost as like a director of football type role. But he's now on 16 months. He's on. He's, He's seen the last 16 months of his contract at the club. What's going on there? Is there a problem, not with Pochettino picking the right signings, but is there a problem with who's actually choosing the players to sign?
It's always been a bit of a problem at Tottenham. It's a very political club. There are lots of fingers in the pie and people with an opinion and getting involved. And I think that's what frustrated Paul Mitchell. He wanted essentially to be a director of football and Daniel Levy wouldn't let him do it. It's Daniel and Rebecca Caperhorn, the director of football operations, who do all the negotiating. Paul Mitchell wanted to be involved in that. He threw his toys out the pram a bit. But I don't think people at Spurs are too upset about him leaving. I mean, you look at that list Ollie mentioned. I mean, Dyer and Ali arrived before Mitchell. So all you can give him is Toby Alderweireld, who had an incredible season for Southampton, we all knew about, and Victor Wanyama, who had already spent the season with Pochettino at Southampton. And Son, I'm not really giving you that one, Ollie. I don't agree with you. I don't think he'd prove value for money at all. So I don't think anyone's crying at Tottenham about Paul Mitchell leaving. They're going to replace him. And I think they're going to give Pochettino a little bit more power. But a modern manager can't pour over. You can't keep scouting players, pour over the data every day. They don't have time to do that. So I do think Spurs have to look at their structure a little bit. It's kind of messy. You've got Daniel Levy involved and making final decisions. You've got David Pleat chipping in as well. He's involved. You've got lots of very powerful agents who, one of the criticisms of Tottenham over recent years has been Daniel Levy's too influenced by some big agents, which is a problem as well. And certainly you wouldn't say they seem to have the cohesion of a club like Liverpool or Chelsea, for example.
But is it a case of looking at their structure? They've got a good youth academy now. Maybe the transfer market isn't where they should look to. Are there any chance that any youngsters could be promoted in January as we've seen Harry Winks come into the side?
I don't think anyone's news going to come through this season. He's giving Josh Onnemar a go. I'm not convinced by Onnemar. He's playing him out of position as well. I think that shows that he's not unhappy with the squad, really, because Josh Onnemar is a box-to-box central midfielder and he's playing him out on the wing. He's playing him up front instead of bringing him on for Harry Kane. It's not an ideal role for Onnemar or for Pochettino and Tottenham, really. The big one's going to be Marcus Edwards, but I think because he's had an injury, he might play in the FA Cup against Aston Villa if he's back. But really, I think you're looking at next season for him. But certainly, lots of kids are training with the first team, and Pochettino, if they're ready, he'll give them a chance.
Mm. Ollie, earlier this month, there were some rumours in the papers about Eric Dier being happy with the amount of game he's playing in midfield. Is there any sense that if the club, I mean, they're out of the Champions League this year, they're going to find it hard to get into the top four for next season? With this money being spent on the stadium, is there a worry at all, do you think, amongst the fans about stagnation based on the momentum they built last season?
Well, you know, so many players have signed contracts this season, which I think is a good sign. You know, it seems that the key players at Tottenham want to stay and they're invested in the project that Pochettino's building. So in terms of losing players, I wouldn't be, you know, hugely concerned. Stagnation, yeah. I mean, they need to add to the squad, which has been the issue over the last, you know, six to 12 months, really.